Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Our guest is Dinesh D'Souza. You have doubtless seen his films. I hope you have, at least. You've almost certainly read his books or seen him in the public arena, commenting, analyzing, teaching magnificently, really. We're talking today about his new film, Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. And Dinesh, to move from the early 20th century to the 30s, of course, we had progressivism institutionalized and really that central planning kind of approach enshrined in the New Deal under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Talk a little bit about how the Democratic Party sort of mutated in that period and the extent to which some of these rather nasty traditions and historical proclivities were embedded in it as well.
Well, progressive historians like to portray FDR as a transition away from the old democratic practices of segregation and the Ku Klux Klan and all that stuff. But in fact, it's not true. FDR incorporated all that into his progressive coalition. FDR, in order to pass the New Deal, needed the support of the racist Democrats, a huge coalition in the Democratic Party. So he goes to those guys and he goes, I'll give you the Tennessee Valley Project. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. Vote for the New Deal. And those guys were like, no, we'll support the New Deal if only if, A, you agree to block all anti-lynching schemes that are introduced by the Republicans. FDR agrees. And then they say, all right, condition number two, you have to agree to exclude blacks who mainly work in domestic service as maids and so on. And in agricultural labor, exclude those two categories from New Deal programs. No Social Security for those people, for example. FDR agrees again. So, point is, here's this progressive icon of the 20th century, FDR, and he's in bed with the worst racists in this country, cutting deals that actually have not only a racist motive, but a racist effect. And the New Deal was in that sense, marinated in bigotry.
Mm-hmm. And yet it's during that period that, as you chronicle, Dinesh D'Souza, so many blacks came to find themselves identifying with the Democratic Party after having, for many years before, and quite understandably, found their home in the party of Abraham Lincoln, the Republicans.
This is a great kind of a mystery and a very tragic story of how many blacks knew. And they were leaving the party of emancipation and Lincoln and joining the party of segregation and the Ku Klux Klan. And it is only the unbelievably harsh conditions of the Depression that can explain why people would make such a transition, because what they got was so meager and so little. But nevertheless, they, in a sense, sold their legacy in exchange for the, in most cases, not even actual benefits, but just promises of the New Deal.
And the promises of the New Deal were a mixed bag, as they, in fact, were delivered, including, I'm afraid, sort of a continuation of this democratic tradition of exploitation of the blacks, would it not be?
I think we see that now. I mean, now with the benefit of about 70 or 80 years of hindsight, as we look back to see how this has all played out, we see what the Democrats were really doing is they were not offering lasting benefits, or they weren't actually offering ladders of opportunity. What they were doing, almost diabolically, was recreating the plantation in the inner city. In other words, they were taking the features of plantation life. Let's look at a couple of those. Ramshackle dwellings, broken families, a great deal of violence required to hold the place together. Everybody gets a meager living, but no one really gets ahead. There's nihilism, hopelessness, and despair. These were the features of the old rural slave plantation. These are exactly the features of life today in inner city Oakland, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, St. Louis. So the Democrats essentially made the plantation an urban phenomenon and expanded it. So it wasn't just for blacks anymore. But if there are plantations for blacks, reservations for Native Americans, ghettos, barrios, and slums for Hispanics and other minorities. And this is the kind of legacy of the party. Remember, the Democrats were running the old slave plantations, and they're running the new urban plantations. You can't blame any of the problems today on the Republicans, because in these places, there's not a Republican to be found. Democratic mayors, Democratic city officials, Democratic sheriffs, it's Democrats all the way down.
Right. And building on what you've documented, Dinesh D'Souza, in Hillary's America, the practices of machine politics in these urban centers, dominated typically by, white Boss Tweed types, but not exclusively. Richard Daley features prominently in the film. What role did they play in perpetuating this sort of, or transplanting and sort of institutionalizing this plantation in the urban centers?
The role of the bosses, and here we need to be fair, there were some Republican bosses, there were some Republican machines. But in the main, the urban city machine was an ethnic Democratic phenomenon. Tammany Hall being one example, the Daily racket in Chicago being another. And these urban bosses, essentially what they would do is A, loot the treasury, B, give city contracts to their buddies and friends, and C, create a kind of dependent class of people who were essentially reliant on them for their jobs and for their livelihoods. And I think the Clintons represent today is taking the corruption that was previously at the local level and taking it to the national or even the global level. We've never seen that in America before. The ability, for example, for someone who's Secretary of State, Hillary, to profit from her position. I mean, the Clintons essentially went from zero to $300 million on a government salary. I mean, is there even a plausible way to envision, to imagine how that could legitimately occur? I don't think so. And so we're seeing the old Boss Tweed model, if you will, but now carried to the White House, carried to the Secretary of State. American security and foreign policy is involved. It's almost chilling to contemplate.
Let me ask you about another man who I believe profited immensely during his time in public office, namely Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Well, Johnson was initially started out as a segregationist. He was a racist. And he was someone, however, who realized that the politics of the South were changing. And the South was actually becoming less racist, and the non-racist Southerners were moving toward the Republican Party. So Johnson decided we need, in order to be viable in the South, we need black votes. And so he got this idea of essentially keeping blacks on the Democratic plantation. The transition that began with FDR, blacks voting Democratic, Johnson was worried that would be reversed. And so he wanted to accelerate it. And so his idea for the Great Society was to create more dependency.
Fantastically interesting. When you look at the Johnson legacy with respect to civil rights, it certainly had the effect, whatever else it did, of further intensifying the attachment of many black Americans to the Democratic Party. You've really made the case, I think very persuasively, Dinesh, that this is a con game, among other things. How have the Democrats responded to the loyalty of blacks in your estimation? I'm thinking of the period leading up to and including now the election of an African American as president of the United States.
Yeah, the thing is that with blacks, they became, in a sense, beholden to the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party realized that we can take these people for granted. Not only do we not need to demonstrate economic progress, particularly for the poorest blacks, we don't actually want it. Because think about it. Frequently, there are these gentrification schemes that are proposed for the inner city. Hey, let's bring in new apartments, lofts, high-tech companies, Starbucks. Let's create all kinds of new jobs and ladders of opportunity. And the progressives fight tooth and nail against this. They always, you're changing the neighborhood. What they actually mean is that if there were ladders of opportunity, people might climb up them, dust themselves off, and walk off, and they don't need the Democratic Party anymore. Goodbye. Let's move out. So the Democrats don't like that. They want to keep these voters in there because they can count on. I mean, yeah, and this is the irony of the plantation.
We have to pause on that thought. We will be right back with more with Dinesh D'Souza, the author of Hillary's America, also Obama's America, Unmaking the American Dream, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.